Hello and season's greetings, whatever season it is with you, and welcome to a new episode of the Christmas Alphabet Podcast, where we explore Christmas in alphabetical order. This is episode G, where we'll be exploring Christmas stuff that starts with the seventh letter of the alphabet. This is an all-year-round Christmas podcast that you can listen to whenever you need a bit of Christmas in your life. We explore Christmas tradition and history and music, both spiritual and secular. We come from a British perspective, but we have a worldwide vision. My name's Wayne. I'm the host, the writer, the producer of the podcast. It's just me, really, so I've got no one else to blame. A big hello to all those who have been following Christmas Alphabet on Facebook and Twitter, and a few on Instagram as well. Thank you for your support. Another hello to fellow members of the Christmas Podcast Network. Do check them out. And especially to Jack from the Total Christmas Podcast, who was kind enough to feature this podcast on his last episode. Thanks, Jack, and back at you. Total Christmas Podcast is my favourite British Christmas podcast. It's a bit zany and crazy and has some great Christmas content and a bit of a laugh as well. I do recommend it for your ears. That's Total Christmas Podcast. Go and look it up as soon as this one's finished. Coming up today, we've got G for Gifts and Gabriel and Gavin and Stacey and a king who isn't a king. So here we go with the letter G on the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. G is for giving gifts. One of the most popular American novels of all time is Little Women by Louisa May Alcott, published in 1868. It's not a Christmas book as such, it's more a coming-of-age novel based on the lives of four sisters and very closely based on the life of the author herself. But although it's not Christmas in its essence, it is what we would call Christmas adjacent, with the Christmas season a prominent part of the story. In fact, the very first line of Little Women is this: "Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents," grumbled Joe, lying on the rug. Giving gifts, and another G, that's generosity, has always been part of Christmas. And in Little Women, the March sisters take their family breakfast to another family, poorer than they are. Gift-giving at Christmas goes back to the Magi, or wise men, who brought gifts to Jesus in Bethlehem. Gifts that were valuable and symbolic. Gold for a king, frankincense for the presence of God, myrrh for his sacrificial death. Our modern Christmas gifts are a reminder of those first presents to the child Jesus. Even in the midwinter festivals of ancient Rome, it was the tradition to give gifts, small symbols of good wishes for the year ahead. In medieval England, you didn't give Christmas gifts to your children, you gave them to your lord. That could be the landowner whose patch of land you farmed, or the nobleman who employed you, or the king or queen you served. The rich didn't give to the poor, it was the other way round. The poor gave to the rich. I don't know if you've seen the TV series Upstart Crow. It's a very clever and very funny comedy about William Shakespeare, set around his family life in Stratford and his working life in London. Shakespeare is played by David Mitchell and it's written by Ben Elton. The second series had a Christmas special, which was first broadcast on the BBC on Christmas Day 2017, in which William Shakespeare has to spend all his savings on a Christmas present for the most important woman in his life, not, to her annoyance, his wife Anne, but Queen Elizabeth, who will put to death anyone who does not give her an extravagant Christmas gift. Will's life is put at risk when his precious gift to the Queen goes missing, and all he can give to her is some poems he wrote for his wife. Thankfully, the Queen loves them, and his life is spared, and his wife ends up happy as well. I love Upstart Crow. Do have a watch of the series and this episode and the other Christmas episode, which is a Dickens Christmas Carol adaptation. Anyway, Upstart Crow takes us to an age where giving Christmas gifts was all about subservience and status, not about love. The connection between giving gifts and delighting children came through St. Nicholas, who supposedly gave gifts to poor families, especially to one family of young women who needed money so they could get married. Nicholas became the patron saint of children in medieval Europe, and children would pray to him for good things for themselves and their families. By the 16th century, children were putting out stockings for St. Nicholas to fill, and then the day for gifts started shifting from St. Nick's Day, December the 6th, to Christmas. Through 18th and 19th century England, it became the normal practice to give small gifts to children at Christmas. This might be a piece of fruit or a sugary confection, or a little book, or one small toy. Times have changed since then, and children have different expectations these days. In Sweden, there's a long Christmas tradition of giving gifts anonymously. What's called the Julklapp, or Christmas knock, is a custom of knocking on a door and running away, or leaving a gift on the doorstep. Often the gift will have on it a little poem that hints at who it's from. I think we still think, as Joe March did, that Christmas isn't Christmas without gifts. But it does seem to me that in these last few years, we've eased off a bit in the amount of money we waste at Christmas time with meaningless gift giving. We still want to show people we love them, and we still want to give our children a great time. But I think we're a bit more aware since COVID that Christmas is not about how much money we spend. We've invested more in time together, and we're more aware of caring for our environment, creating less waste and making gifts more meaningful. Maybe this part of Christmas is changing in our generation. Christmas, through the ages, is for gifts and gift giving. This is the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. G is for Gabriel. Gabriel is the angel who kicked off the Christmas story. In the Bible's account of the birth of Jesus, Gabriel is the angel who is God's messenger to say that his son is coming. Gabriel first appears in the Bible in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, he visits an old man called Zechariah in the temple in Jerusalem. He introduces himself by name. He says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." And he says that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth are going to have a son called John. That's the one we call John the Baptist, who prepares the way for Jesus. Then, most famously, Gabriel visits Mary, a young woman in Nazareth. Gabriel tells Mary she will become pregnant and be the mother of God's son, Jesus. This is the event we call the Annunciation, and it's most often celebrated on March the 25th. It's been painted multiple times by painters through the ages. All the great masters have to have painted this scene. For some Christians, especially in the early centuries, the Annunciation was seen as more important than Christmas, because that was the day Jesus came into the world in Mary's womb. There are other angel sightings in the Christmas story, to Joseph, to the shepherds, to the wise men, and these might well be Gabriel as well, but he's not name-checked as such in those passages. Gabriel is a male name, he's a he angel, if there is such a thing. But try telling that to the boys who are up for parts in nativity plays, when the role normally gets cast as a girl. I suppose the white dress and sparkly accessories don't help. There are a number of Christmas carols about Gabriel, the best known being the Basque song from the Basque region of France and Spain. It's called "The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came."
The angel Gabriel from heaven came, his wings as drifted snow, his eyes as flame. All hail, said he, the lowly maiden Mary.
got that line in it, "Most highly favoured lady," that all choir boys at one point or another have sung, "Most highly flavoured gravy." G is for the angel Gabriel. This is the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. And G is for Gavin and Stacey. Gavin and Stacey is a British sitcom written by James Corden and Ruth Jones, about two families in different parts of Britain, one in Billericay in Essex and one in Barry, South Wales. It's a classic Romeo and Juliet story about family life and a clash of cultures with lots of great characters and lots of laughter. The show ran over three series from 2007 to 2010. And I'm including it here because of two Christmas specials. There was one in 2008 when Stacey's Welsh family spent Christmas with Gavin's family in Billericay in Essex. But the big event for Gavin and Stacey fans was the unexpected Christmas special in 2019. This was written by the same authors, Ruth Jones and James Corden, who by now was a chat show host in the States. It had been 9 years since we last heard from Gavin and Stacey and their friends and families, but it was time to meet them again.
Mr.
Gavilar!
Please enter the establishment, my fine friend.
Wait, hold on. Are you asking me to step in?
What?
Are you asking me to step into Christmas? Step into Christmas. We can watch the snow fall forever and ever. Eat, drink and leave, Merry, come along with me. Step into Christmas. The admission's free. Pamela, you festive mix of cheese and rosé.
It caused an almighty stir in Britain when the news broke that Gavin and Stacey was coming back for Christmas and on primetime BBC One on Christmas Day at that. And it didn't disappoint. All our favourite characters were back, including Uncle Bryn, played by Rob Brydon, who'd become a national treasure since the series finished.
Merry Christmas, Bryn.
Merry Christmas, Ness. Merry Christmas, everyone!
They've got cars, big as bars, they got rivers of gold. But the wind blows right through you, it's no place for the old. When you first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome.
Gavin and Stacey by now have three children, and Nessa and Smithy, the two oddball characters played by the series writers, still love each other from a distance. In fact, the climax of the episode, spoilers I'm afraid, is Nessa getting down on one knee and asking Smithy to marry her, leaving the episode on a Christmas cliffhanger.
You know you're all right as you are, don't you, Smithy? I won't lie, you're not everyone's cup of tea, but at the end of the day, when all's said and done, you're tidy.
Cheers.
I mean, sir. And I know it's been complicated, you and me. All this, like.
Whatever this is.
But I love, sir. And if truth be told, I love you.
Yeah, I know.
No, Smithy, you're not listening. I know this weird, or I. But I do. I love you. With all my heart.
This 2019 Christmas special got just shy of 18 million viewers in Britain on Christmas Day, which made it the most watched programme of the year and the most watched programme of the decade, except for a couple of news and sports broadcasts. The appeal of Gavin and Stacey is in the writing, which is superb, and the characters more than the jokes. Like the best British sitcoms, we like realism and people we can relate to. People who could be us with just a twist of eccentricity and witty language. Many fans are hoping that it will be back, maybe next Christmas. G is for the Gavin and Stacey Christmas Special. This is the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. Today we're looking at all things Christmas, starting with the letter G. We'll finish with a song story, but first those things that nearly made it into this podcast, but didn't quite get there. And there were lots starting with G. G is for gold, already mentioned that, one of the three gifts given by the Magi, along with frankincense and myrrh, which, apart from being the only one of the three I can spell without thinking about it, represents Jesus as king. G is for goose, a bird we used to eat at Christmas before the turkey took its place. It's the meat the Cratchits had cooking at their local baker's shop for their Christmas dinner in the classic Dickens story. But it was a mean affair, with little meat for a large family. And the turkey, if you could afford it, offered more. As well as goose, G is for Grinch, a character invented by Dr. Seuss in his book How the Grinch Stole Christmas of 1957. He's a cross between Scrooge and Krampus, although some people think he's actually based on Grendel, the monster in the old Beowulf poems. He was portrayed by Jim Carrey in the 2000 film and voiced by Benedict Cumberbatch in the animated version in 2018. There's also a video game based on the Grinch character. G is for the Christmas song Go Tell It on the Mountain, an unusual African-American Christmas carol about proclaiming the birth of Jesus. G is for another song, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, which is an old, old song about God giving us peace and happiness, not giving rest to merry people. The song goes back to the 17th century and is quoted by Charles Dickens and George Eliot in their novels. And G is for yet another song that I could have featured here. That's Good Christian Men Rejoice, or Good Christians All Rejoice, as it's often sung these days. That's a carol set to the classic tune In Dulci Jubilo. The tune comes from the 14th century, and the words are by the prolific carol writer John Mason Neal, about whom we'll have a bit more in a minute or two. So we're finishing this G episode of the Christmas Alphabet Podcast, as we do, with a song. This is the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. And G is for Good King Wenceslas. That's the song of all these I could have chosen that I'm choosing to end with today.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel.
You know, of course you know, because you're the kind of person who listens to Christmas podcasts, that the words of this carol are mostly made up in the 19th century, based on just a core of truth. Wenceslas, or Václav, as his mother would have called him, was Duke of Bohemia, what today is the Czech Republic, in the 10th century. His father died when Václav was just 11 and he had power thrust upon him. He did his best to be a wise Christian leader of his people. His grandmother, a good Christian lady, was killed at the orders of his mother, who was opposed to Christianity. Then Wenceslas himself, aged just 24, was killed by his brother. It wasn't what you call a happy family. Wenceslas was never a king as such, but was proclaimed a, quote, good king by the emperor and by the pope. He was then made a saint, and songs and stories and legends of his good deeds were soon being written about him. In Prague today you can go to the square named after him and see a statue of him on a horse. I've been there and sung his song to him. So, scroll forward 900 years from Václav's death and enter the writer John Mason Neal, an English vicar and writer and poet and part of the Renaissance of Christmas carols. In 1849, Neal wrote a book for children called Deeds of Faith. It was all about Christian heroes from the past. And in one chapter, he wrote a legend based on those ancient legends of Václav about a good king called Wenceslas, or Wenceslaus, who goes out into the snow with his page. And in the story, the page has a name. He's called Otto. They go out to do good deeds. At one point, the page says he cannot go on for, quote, the wind freezes my very blood. But the good king urges him on and says, only tread in my footsteps and you will proceed more easily. Starts to sound familiar. Then in 1853, 4 years later, John Neal is given a set of songs and tunes called P.A. Cantiones. It's a songbook from Finland published back in 1582 that's been rediscovered. And this precious manuscript had a song in it called Tempus Adest Floridum, which has been translated as Easter time has come. It's a carol for the springtime, with words that were written even earlier than that manuscript, way back in the 13th century, we think. Well, Neal loved that tune, and he sat down to adapt his Wenceslas story to the dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum tune. With an eye to the growing market for Christmas carols, he added in a reference to the Feast of Stephen, the day after Christmas, which gave his song its kind of unique place in the church calendar around Christmas time. Otherwise, the song had no Christmas connections at all. This carol was published in Neal's own carol book, and then got reprinted in many carol books since. I remember singing it with my dad. Dad sang the king's lines, and I sang the lines of the page, and we joined together for the other words. It's not the greatest of carols, but it's singable and it's festive, and it reminds us that Christmas is the time for doing good, especially caring for the poor. And I think that's why it's remained popular. This is the Christmas Alphabet Podcast, and G is for Good King Wenceslas. This is the Christmas Alphabet Podcast. I'm your host, Wayne. And now we're coming to the end of our episode for the letter G, all bar the shouting. All the music on this podcast is in the public domain or used for review purposes. Please subscribe to the Christmas Alphabet Podcast, and please get your Christmas-loving friends to subscribe as well. You can follow us on the social medias at Christmas Alphabet Podcast on Facebook, at Christmas Alpha on Twitter, or Christmas Alphabet on Instagram. Please give us a follow. Please leave us a review, either on our Facebook page or on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app. That would be really good. The website is christmasalphabet.com, and you can send me a note by email, which is wayne@christmasalphabet.com. I'll be back in 2 weeks with H. What's going to be in our H program? Well, we could be H for Holly, and the Holly and the Ivy, and Hogmanay, and Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and other things starting with H. Please subscribe, please spread the word. Thank you for listening, and may the joy of Christmas be with you all year round.